Welcome to the Catholic Dad Show. My name is Chris.
And I'm Matt.
And I want to let you guys know today we are going to journey into this question. What would you say to God at the end of the time if he asked you how you were as a father?
Wow, that's like you didn't mention that before the show. You just typed that in just now.
That's a heavy question, and we're going to unpack what we can do as fathers here on earth so that we can have a good answer in heaven. We look forward to you guys joining us.
Before we dive into today's topic, though, I really just hope that you guys out there, that all you Catholic dads out there, have someone like Chris is to me that you have fun with, that you're like a Catholic dad with, you get to share life with, and you just have fun with, because I have a lot of fun with this guy. He's a goober, and so am I. But we have a lot of fun. I don't know if y'all noticed as the show began, like the smiles we started with. That's why we do this show, because we have fun. Like we're glad that you guys are here and subscribing and paying attention and sharing this with people. But really, this is just for me and Chris.
False. I want you guys to be willing to take a stand for fatherhood, and that is why we're here today. I'm going to take a stand for fatherhood right now.
Oh, no. Why are you standing? Chris needed to turn a light on.
It was my excuse to turn on my light. Now you can see me.
All right, so the question, what will you say to God when he asks you, right? Holds you accountable
to? Yeah, how are you at stewarding your fatherhood? How did you steward your fatherhood, right?
Wow.
And so I think as we're going into this content of like kind of our last part in the series of why grow as a dad, as a Catholic dad, as a father, we need to look first at the model. And who was the model? Who's the model of fatherhood?
So are we talking about like, the spiritual model, God the Father, or are we talking about earthly model, Joseph?
No, God the Father, right?
Okay, there you go.
And I think this is important because as we dive in, I wanted just to, what's one thing notable about God the Father?
He's a good father, a good father.
He sacrificed his only son. Now, the reason why this is important is because I think that's very attractive to you, Matt Rice, because your son has been beating you during workouts.
Yes.
So it'd be very convenient for you to sacrifice him, and then you could be number one again.
So, like, there's always the joke, like, of people that do CrossFit, you know, is like, yeah. Anyway, so the cult of CrossFit, sure, I'm in it, right? Me and my son have been in it for a while. Well, he took a couple weeks off, I guess, earlier in the football season. And then when he came back, I don't know what he was doing. But he was letting me beat him. Like, I was beating him in every single category. And I was like, he's 17 years old. I am 43. There is no way that he should be beating me. And so I constantly, like, was giving him a hard time. And is this what you're talking about, sacrificing? I was sacrificing him, I don't know, to my own ego?
No.
Possibly.
If you sacrificed him, then you'd be back to being top dog.
But that's true.
You're number two in your house now.
So, like, I gave him a hard enough time for a long enough time that now, because he works out in the morning and I work out in the afternoon, so I get to see his score before I go to exercise. So then I know what to shoot for. So I said, if you keep setting the bar low, I'm jumping right over that sucker. You set the bar high, and there's no way I can catch it.
Right.
And he finally clued into, oh, yeah, I really can beat Dad before he works out by setting the bar high enough for him not to be able to jump over it.
Now, In all seriousness, there have been a few times where I've had to make relational sacrifices with my own children for the sake of what I deemed as a father to be the greater good for my child, right? And so, yeah, my job isn't to get you to like me. My job is to get you to heaven. Yep. And I've had to have moments like that to where, I don't know, they're asking every day, we've still got leftover stacks of Halloween candy. It's like, can I have this? Can I have this? And it's like, no, well, then I don't like you, Dad. It's like, I don't care. Yeah. Like, I don't care if you like me. I really do kind of care if you love me, but that's, you know, we're practicing spiritual detachment or whatever. But my job isn't to get you to like me. My job is to get you to heaven.
Yep.
And that reality is one that allows us to push our kids in a way that grows them, obviously appropriately, but grows them into the saints that they are called to be.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's one thing is like God has put us in this position to be stewards over that reality.
Yeah. And like, sorry, this is kind of a random aside, but you can't challenge them the way we need to challenge them as Catholic fathers without that relational capital. Not really. You can think you're challenging them, but if they don't respect you and don't have a relationship with you, they're just going to do the opposite of what you want them to do when you're not around.
For sure.
And so there's a relational capital that you absolutely have to have for your kids to like actually consider what you're saying. I had, you know, periodically, I mean, I've got six kids and been a parent for 17 years. So I've had a lot of moments where I've failed in the way that I'm challenging my kids, pushing my kids. And I may have, I don't think I talked about this on the episode yet, but I had like a situation like that with my oldest son just a couple of weeks ago where I was pushing a little too hard, but then he and I had like, we're able to sit down and have an actual conversation about, and it's just kind of a reiteration to him and between he and I, you know, just like, I am here like to help you be the man that God has called you to be. I'm not here to push you just for the sake of pushing you. So I want you to make, and even like yesterday, he said, yeah, I really hope you don't make me go to workout tomorrow. I'm like, and I stopped him. And I said, stop that. I'm not making you do this. You have committed to something and you committed to it with me. Like we agreed that this was a good way to move forward.
Yep.
And all I'm doing is helping you stay true to your commitments. This is your commitment. I'm not making you do it. And so that's like,
it's, and on a deeper level, that's part of fatherhood, is helping our children stay true to who they are.
Yep.
Not just what they commit to, but who they are.
Yep.
And that's an integrated approach to fatherhood. Not who we want them to be. And I know people who majored in college in X, Y, or Z because mom and dad thought that they should do that. Like, well, what did you want to do? And it's like, I'm miserable. And that's why I'm working this job over here. Yeah. It's because it's closer to what I wanted to do. I just wanted to work with my hands. I'm like, my goodness, you should have been a mechanic, but they wanted you to go pre-med. Like that's, I mean, you're still working with your hands in both ways, but you're fixing different parts, right? Yeah. So anyways, but the long and the short of it is staying true to who you are is a deep calling of fatherhood. And I think that is something we need to do as fathers as well, is to stay true to who we are.
Yep.
Because our fatherhood isn't just what's going to get our kids to heaven. Our fatherhood is also part of what's going to get us to heaven. Like God has given us this gift of fatherhood. Well, as a way to be drawn home to his love.
You mentioned this before the show, just about like our vocation of fatherhood is what's going to get them to heaven. And that's like, I would argue with that. I would disagree with that. Like my vocation is my surest path to heaven. My fatherhood is not their vocation. Their vocation, they're going to discern that later. And so their surest path to heaven is going to come later. How we set them up to accept that vocation is our vocation, like is what we're called to. Does that make
right.
sense? Like,
but we've talked about it in episode two, how important it is, or maybe episode one, the influence that fathers have on their children.
Amen. Absolutely.
And so we are setting the platform for them to go ahead and build their vocation on.
Yeah.
Without a solid platform, that vocation will not be as sure or as sturdy. And so the gift of fatherhood will indeed help them immensely.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that if they don't have a good father or something like that, that there's no pathway to heaven. You're absolutely right in regards to that. But the gift of fatherhood will help them immensely. And building their toolbox is part of who we are.
And the flip side of that, like it's not my job to get my kids to heaven. That's not my job. It's my job to prepare them to answer God's call, 100%, to do the best I can to do that. It's God's job to get them to heaven.
It's an interesting distinction, and I think it's good to make, because when it is my job to get my kids to heaven, when I'm in that mentality, I'm going to try and force something that's not authentic, right?
Well, and maybe even force them to be who they're not called to be.
But all of them are called to be saints, right? But Amen. You're trying to force them to be the patron saint of X, and really they're called to be the patron saint of G.
Exactly. Or yeah. or a saint that or like a saint that looks like Chris's kid. You know, like if my kid's path to holiness is not the same path as your kid's, and I'm trying to force my kid to look like yours, that's a problem.
And here's the harder thing. If my kid's path to holiness is not the same as my path to holiness.
Amen.
How am I supposed to lead them down that path if yep. I myself have not journeyed down that path?
Well, and that's where prayer, like in discernment, comes into this, and in peace with what God is doing in their life.
And here's another thing. If my kid's path to holiness is not the same as my path to holiness because I don't know my path to holiness, then where should I be investing?
Oh, yeah.
Should I be investing in my kid? Like, yeah. I want you to know Jesus even though I don't know Jesus. Yeah, and yeah. we do that. I'm like, I don't know baseball, and my son wants to play baseball, and I'm like, go sport. You know what I mean? Like, that's fine.
Yep.
But when it comes to holiness, we have to be chasing after Jesus, not so that they chase after Jesus in the same way, but so that they see a man modeling what it's like to seek and pursue the Lord.
You just touched on something that I think is probably pretty important. So as far as, so my oldest kid is a basketball player. My next oldest is gymnastics, and I don't have any others that are really committed to anything yet. If my kid asks me, what position does he play? I probably couldn't tell you. Or what the other positions are on the basketball court. I don't know. Like, I don't know basketball. I really don't.
Right.
I can tell you probably when it's in a 3-2 defense, when they're playing zone or when they're playing man. I can probably figure that out. But I don't know all the terminology of, like, what are they, G1, G2, all these different positions.
It's Spanish to me, man. Exactly. I don't understand. Yeah.
Well, and the same thing for gymnastics. I know some of the gymnastics terms for the moves. I know what a kip is. I have an idea what a souk. No, I know what a souk is. You know, and there's other terminology like that. I don't know what they are, but I need to probably invest in that a little bit more, so that I can actually have conversations with my kids about what they're passionate about.
To journey with them.
Yeah, to journey with them. And so, we definitely send our kids in sports off to experts to learn how to do what they do, right? Because I'm not a basketball expert. I cannot coach my kid in basketball. So I send him to a basketball coach, basketball camp, different things like that for him to get better at basketball. The problem is, I think that idea, that thought translates to the spiritual life, and it doesn't translate.
Right.
That's just it. Like, we think it translates. We think that, I don't know that much about the catechism or whatever, or how to pray. So I'm going to send my kid to youth group, or I'm going to send my kid to so-and-so. But as fathers, we cannot do that. Like, that is our job. That is
there is nobody better.
Nobody better.
But we have to keep in mind that if you can imagine a garden, right? We're just trying to make sure that they're nourished so that they can bloom. And some of them might be a tulip. Some of them might be a rose. Some of them might be a tomato plant. And you're just like, I was not expecting that, right?
Yeah.
But in every single one of those, when we in our season have what we need to be successful, then we're going to flourish in the way that God calls us. And so really there's this neat partnership with God. But in that, and we prayed about this earlier today, is we have to be willing to have a detachment from what our understanding of my son becoming a saint is, our understanding of what my daughter becoming a saint is, and still seek what God wants us to do for our sainthood, but give them the tools that they need to flourish into saints on their own terms.
I'm loving your analogies today. Like that garden analogy, like, or plant analogy with your kid, like, you have, like, you've given these seeds and they all look the same. You have no idea what they're going to become.
Like, you are, as a father, literally given these seeds.
That's true.
Yes.
And you plant them. They all look the same. But anyway,
continue on. Let's go back. Yeah. Thanks, go back.
Chris. But the, you're planting them and you have no idea what it's going to grow up to be. And if you are forcing corn to look like and be a tomato plant, that's not going to work. It's just going to break the corn plant.
Right. And then the corn is...
I don't know
if
it'll break it, but...
I don't know, but, like, how would you like to be corn and be like, I'm the best corn in the world. By the way, I'm allergic to corn, so this is painful for me to talk about. But I'm the best corn in the world, but my dad hates me because I'm not a tomato plant.
Exactly.
And it's like, dang it, I know that God has called me here, and so how do we help him navigate it? But what if... Your child is corn and you're like, you're corn. And they're like, yeah, but I want to be a tomato plant. How do we as fathers navigate to help them flourish in the way that God created them to be? Because in a image driven culture with Instagram and social media and things of that nature, everyone is saying, not just parents, but society is saying, this is what it looks like to be successful, attractive, popular, handsome, whatever it is. And we have to say, no, we find our true identity in who?
Well,
in God.
And the other thing on this is, and we're going to stick with this analogy for a while because I just think it's interesting, is like if you think about, I don't know, cucumbers and maybe pumpkins and other kinds of plants like that, they look similar when they initially sprout.
Yes.
They look like almost like the same, like those kind of gourd type of things. But eventually they start to look different, especially when the fruit, you know, starts to grow. It especially looks different. What if your kid you know, has thought, you know, I don't know, a cucumber. And then all of a sudden, like, they realize later, as they're starting to, like, become who they're meant to be, that they realize they're a pumpkin. And I'm sorry, I'm, like, talking about this analogy, it's so weird. But, like, your kid can have this idea of who they are for so long, be working towards that goal for so long, and then realize, that's not who I am, or that's not what I'm made for, that's not what I'm meant to be. And then how do we navigate that? How do us dads navigate that and help them realize who they are and that they haven't wasted all that time?
Great. Yeah. And so to bring it to reality, there was a teen that I was ministering to in our youth program, and she was the athlete.
Yeah.
Like not just an athlete, but the athlete, starting varsity basketball freshman year of high school. Two serious concussions later, she can't play sports ever again. Yep. Midway through her sophomore year.
Yeah.
Her whole pathway was, and her father played professional ball. You know what I mean? Like, her whole pathway was to follow in that kind of trajectory and get college paid for with a scholarship and go and do sports and then be a coach or whatever it is for, you know, everything was going to be surrounding her cleats or her gym shoes or whatever. And all of a sudden that gets stripped away. And it took a little while for that deeper identity to kind of sprout a little bit, to where it's like, no, you are not just defined by athleticism.
Yep.
But sometimes our youth, our children are rowing in one direction, and a new breeze comes along, and you got to put up the sail and allow the breeze to carry you to where God is actually desiring you to be. But that's a cross. That's a real yep. challenging cross.
Yeah.
Another cross that I think people have to deal with in this, what if your kid is a potato?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just saying, like, potatoes live under the earth, and so you don't really get to see, and they're growing, and they're doing things down there, but you don't get to see it. And sometimes the children themselves, our own children, don't even know what they're being, and they just feel lost sometimes.
Yep.
And sometimes our goal isn't just to affirm them into a cucumber or a stalk of corn or whatever. This analogy is starting to break down a little bit, but but like, sometimes it's just to sit in the dirt with our kids.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what God the Father did, because he sent his only son to sit in the dirt with humanity.
Yeah.
Like, that's a beautiful example of just, we don't have to fix things sometimes as dads. We can just sit in it and be like, I'm going to bear the cross with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is a decent time to transition into Avoiding the Millstone.
Oh, welcome to Avoiding the Millstone. This week, when we're talking about avoiding the millstone, I want us to remember that one of the ways that we can get a millstone is to not be who we are. I know that sounds weird, but God has called us to an authentic fatherhood in a very powerful way. And when we seek to be something that we're not, when God has given us gifts and we say, those gifts aren't good enough, Lord, because I want the gifts to look like this. And it happens in every area. There's mom guilt, there's dad guilt, there's real parent guilt that exists out there. But sometimes we see someone else and they're like, their kids know this prayer, or their kids are doing this, or that family is doing this, and so I'm going to try and imitate that, when God actually has given you a giftedness in a different way, where he's calling you to nourish your own family, specifically your children, and grow them in that way. But you feel like that gift that God has given you is inadequate. There's a millstone attached to that rejection of God's gift. So be authentically you.
Because your kids are learning how to be from you, and that leads them astray from where God has destined them to be if they see you acting out other people's gifts rather than yours.
Amen.
Awesome. All right. So this is the last episode in this series. This has been a 5-part series on why grow as a Catholic father. The first episode, Chris, what did we talk about?
We talked about, because our kids are watching us.
Yep.
Right? That idea that what we do as a living model is going to be imitated, or at least sought after, by our young people. And so we need to grow as a father, because our children, we are on display. We are a living example.
Yeah. The second episode, we talked about how society needs us, how the impact we have on the world through our kids, through our families, but also just dads showing up. Like, there was a video recently, I don't know, it probably was out for a long time, just about this school that had fights all the time. And then dads just start showing up and walking the halls, and the fights stopped. Like the power that a dad, the presence of a father can have in the lives of young people in the world is freaking amazing. So the world needs us.
Yes. The third part in this amazing series is because it is our vocation, right? And so the beautiful thing is God has invited us to become fathers, to be co-creators, right? And so one of the things for me that really happened once I became, like once we found out we were pregnant with our first kid, I really transitioned. Boyhood was over at that point. I really became a man, and it was a gift to me, this vocation of fatherhood. I should grow as a father because fatherhood is a gift to me, not just a gift to society, not just a gift to our kids, but fatherhood is a gift to me, and it's a vocational calling because people, there are men out there that are not fathers,
yep.
And that's just the reality. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And part four, the one right before this, was because our wives need us. That we are the spiritual head, we are provider, protector, and that's what we signed up for in our vows, that we had basically told our wives that we would grow as Catholic men, as Catholic fathers, and so you know, honoring that commitment in a way and being the protection and the leadership that we need in the family.
So here in part five, as we wrap it up, I want to let you know that we need to grow as a father, or should seek to grow as a father, because God created us for times such as these.
Yeah, that idea is crazy. Like I look back and I think, oh, I want to live in, I don't know, pre-colonial times or something like that. I'd love to be like, they did this series on PBS where people had to like live as if people
they
lived
had to
on
churn
the
their own butter and stuff,
yeah,
like that,
frontier,
right?
Home, yeah, yeah. Or whatever. And it's like, I want to live like that, but God did not create me for that time.
You'd make a heck of a Viking, though. I just gotta let you know. You'd make one heck of a Viking. No,
oh,
God
like,
created
I don't know
us for.
You're talking about the way I look or the way I act, but you know,
it's
the I'll
way
go
you
the
smell.
Way I look.
Oh, sorry.
Even better.
Yes. So, like back just 200 years ago, we'd be out in the field with a shovel, and we'd be, you know, farming with our kids. And if a snake came along, we'd take the shovel and put it at the head of the snake, and that'd yep. be our role as father to protect our kids.
Yep.
Now. That might look like something like covenant eyes or having internet restrictions and things like that in our society. But God has created us for times such as these. And if you look around, these times seem pretty difficult.
Yeah.
Like yep. the stats are just horrid in regards to retention for those that grew up Catholic. Like 80% leave by age 23. Now, yeah. there should be solace in knowing that actually they start leaving at age 13. So
solace?
It's not like, it's not, well, no, because it's not the university's fault.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's our fault.
Yeah, like I don't know if that's solace, but like that there is hope there, because as we grow as fathers, we actually really can impact the future religiosity, you know, of our kids. That it, like they start leaving at 13. I don't know how many of you like left your home at 13. I didn't. Some people I'm sure did, which is sad, and I'm sorry, and I love you. But the you have 5 years, you know, like just from 13 to 18 in most cases before kids leave the house. But if we are growing as Catholic dads before 13,
yes.
then that's not going to be an issue.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, the faith root takes place usually by about age 7. Is everything in regards to their understanding of their worldview, their Catholic worldview, is kind of starts to take root at age 7 and then is fostered and developed. By the time they're age 13, when all their friends are starting to think about whether or not they're going to be an atheist or whatever YouTube video they just saw,
yep.
right? Whatever ideals they're going to embrace, your children can be living witnesses to help bring them or anchor them in the faith. And that's a powerful thing, because fatherhood is fruitful. And that fruit isn't just in our children, but it's in society. It's in our marriage, just like we mentioned earlier. But God created you for times such as these. Do not forget that reality.
Yeah, that thought always, like, I don't know, ever so often I'll get so fed up with the world. You know, I'll look and I'll say, oh, the world's ending, you know, or whatever. It's awful. And I just want to retreat and not be a part of it in any way, shape, or form. But then this thought pops in my head. Is like, God could have had me, like my soul, who I am, like exist at a completely different time, in a completely different area. But he chose me to live here in the life I'm living with the people I'm living with and all this stuff. Like chose that on purpose. And the same thing for you watching, listening right now. He chose you for this time, this place, this family on purpose. And he doesn't make mistakes. He has picked you for that purpose, and he is going to equip you to be the dad, to be the father, the husband that you are called to be.
Absolutely. And so that means it's not a time for us to retreat, but it's a time for us to lean in, lean into our call to fatherhood, lean into the brokenness of society, because the world is crying out for a savior and we have a relationship with one. We know one. And woe to us if we don't echo that love of the savior into the world. And again, we want to do it in prudent ways. We don't want to send our seven-year-old out there to go do street evangelization. But at the same time, we also don't want our seven-year-old to think the only time we're allowed to talk about God is when we're at the dinner table or when we're huddled together as a family, but to empower them and equip them to see opportunities to share God's love in the world and to the ends of the earth. One of my favorite moments of fatherhood was when I was coaching my daughter's soccer team. Now, she was literally 6 or 7 years old, right? One of the practices we have is whenever we hear an ambulance go by or a fire truck go by, we just say a Hail Mary.
Yep.
So we're out at practice at the practice field, and this ambulance goes by. And my adorable little 6 or 7 year old girl gets her teammates together and starts saying the Hail Mary. She was the only one there that knew the Hail Mary, but she's like, guys, there's an ambulance. Come on, bring it in. And then starts leading a Hail Mary. It was absolutely wonderful. And I was so proud of her, but I had to kind of explain, like, they might not know. It was afterwards on the drive home. They might not know. So maybe we just say a little Hail Mary in our heart next time, or just say, hey, let's say a little prayer for her. And it was beautiful. But those little moments are like where you see the fruits of fatherhood. And sometimes you don't get to see those fruits between the busyness and the slamming doors and the different things like that.
Yeah.
But a couple times a year, but God graces us all along the way, and he graces others through your gift of fatherhood.
I had a couple of moments like that this year. Just proud papa moments that just really, like, I don't know, surprised me, came out of nowhere. Like, I mean, it felt like it. But there was the homecoming, the football game, and then the most recent senior night. The homecoming, I don't know if it was King or whatever, but they always play kind of a recording from the homecoming king, like who was important in their lives, who affected their lives, da da da. And he mentioned my oldest son specifically because of his faith and influential my oldest son's faith has been in his life. And like, I don't know, it's so weird. Like, and it makes me feel bad because sometimes as a dad, I don't get to see that.
Yeah.
Because I don't see him interact with his friends. Really, yeah. All that much.
Yeah.
And so, that's one of those little glimpses of that. And then the same thing happened with two kids, you know, on senior night. Two of the seniors mentioned my son and his faith and how it's affected their life. And it's like, holy crap. Like, this is freaking amazing. Like, without that, I wouldn't know, you know, and that's part of that, like, having faith that what we're doing is impacting the lives of our kids. We may never see fruit like that. And I, like, it's weird. I don't see the fruit directly. And I probably do. I just am just so used to it or whatever. Like, he is like a stupid respectful kid. Honors his mother and father like nobody else. Helps out. Anyway, there's a ton of ways that I see it.
But he's cool, too.
I take it for granted. You know?
He has a magnetic personality. There's aspects about him to where he could definitely be getting invited to the parties, and I'm sure he does, and getting drunk every weekend. Like, he could be doing all the things that by society's standards are awesome, right? Because he has all those skill sets, all the social skills, all the different pieces, but he chooses to use those, for the most part, in a way that's ordered towards God.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, so, and that's, yeah, beautiful.
But I could have gone, without those two moments, I could have gone his entire high school career not having known or seen that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so that we don't always get to see the fruit. And so that's like part of me like needs to remember that I might not see that fruit in all of my other kids, but I have to have faith that what I'm doing and what I have been doing as a father is going to have the impact.
Yeah.
That I know it will, just because of everything we've talked about in this whole series. Because we, like, as fathers, as Catholic fathers, have a huge role to play, and we have an impact. We really do, whether we see it or not.
So God desires you to grow as a father. And if you have seen some fruits of that reality, we'd love to hear about it. You can post it in the chat down below. We want to encourage you guys to like, subscribe, and share this episode with others. That way we can continue to grow our audience and continue to share this message to other fathers to the ends of the earth. Catholic Dad Show, go ahead, Matt.
I was going to, can I say something? Can I say
no,
part of this?
I'm on a roll, man.
You take all of it.
Go.
We also publish this as a podcast. It's on all the podcast platforms. It is live on Apple Podcasts. I subscribed to it myself just a couple days ago. Also in the comments as we're thinking. So this is the end of this series. Chris and I are hoping to do like 3 to 6 part series. And that's kind of the way we want to do this. We have series lined out. We have ideas of things that we want to do. But if there's something that you've heard this and you've said, hey guys, I want you to dive deeper in this section, or I want you to take 3 to 5 sections to talk about this, post that in the comments below. And if you guys haven't noticed, I'm active on here responding to everybody that comments. I'm happy to engage in any kind of debate or conversation around all this. We want to be providing what you guys need.
And if you feel like you're journeying alone as a Catholic father, we want to let you know that there's a digital community that you can be a part of. It's called The Village. And The Village has a place specifically for dads, but it's actually for parents that are seeking to raise saints in our modern world, because it takes a village. So how do they find The Village?
Ablaze.us/The Village.
Ablaze.us/The Village. You guys, God desires greatness for you with your fatherhood, and we know that He desires you to grow as a father, so lean into that because He will carry you where you need to be.
And I want to see like at least 50 likes on this show within a week, at least. All right? So hit the like button.
Show Dad is going to be disappointed, and you don't want to make Show Dad disappointed in you guys. Hey, thanks again for joining us, and we will see you guys again with new content in 2 weeks.
God bless.